That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And we give you a big good morning from the Radio Ranch this 29th day of June. It's the last Saturday in June once again. How about that, Kyle?
Yeah, it's going fast.
Time just zooms by. I think we must be in those days. Maybe we'll talk about that this morning, about unless the days were shortened. And I think you shorten a day by speeding up time. But anyway, this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And this is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we've got Ranch Wrangler Kyle here. And John and Jason are returning from their trip today, so we'll have them at church tomorrow. And then we'll have them, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. We'll have us all here on Coffee with the Wranglers next Sunday morning. But this Sunday morning is just the two of us. We're going to open up the phone lines early, 307-745-5913. And we'll kind of call it open mic day if anybody wants to call in, and we'll say good morning to you, pour you a cup of coffee. But we're going to start out with a prayer. That's always a good place to start. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, it's a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. We thank you for making the sky blue and the grass green. We ask for you to be here with us today. Lord, we look at it as a privilege to be able to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, to have an opportunity for even an hour to speak to the remnant, to speak with the remnant. Lord, to fellowship with you, to read from your word, to fellowship with each other, to share your word with the world. Lord, it is an honor and a privilege to be able to do that. We invite you to be here with us, Lord. Your word says, where two or more are gathered in your name, and we do gather in your name, that name above all, the name of Jesus Christ. So we ask you to be here with us. Guide our thoughts. Guide our words. Lord, let it be an edification, an edifying for your people out there. as they tune in today with us, or as they hear this broadcast from the archive, or later on a CD. But let it be to your glory. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I guess we can't open up the phone lines earlier. Spoke with a man a couple days ago, and he said, you know, I wish you guys could just go on the radio for 4 or 5 hours straight so everybody could call in. And I said, well, it'd be nice if we had time to do that, but...
I've heard that before, and the funny thing about it is a lot of times when you do open up the phone lines, they're just silent.
There they are. So we've got them open, 307-745-5913. I see Kyle flipping through his Bible over there. So I think
I'd like to open up with a scripture.
Sure. So
Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And you know, we've all heard the term, and it's true, the frog. The slow boil of the frog. It's not such a slow boil anymore.
The heat's turned up, hasn't it?
I mean, it's... Rubber is going to hit the road, and it's going to hit the road fast. And there's just some scriptures, some promises of God like that one. If you want the kingdom of heaven, if you want the kingdom of God, and you want to stay in that kingdom, you're going to be persecuted. Now, if you don't ever say anything, if you don't ever come up against the adulterers or the fornicators or the murderers or the homosexuals, you might not be persecuted. You might not be reviled because you're not doing anything. We're supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ. And to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we've got to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And anyway, I just see a lot of push right now, a lot of push, and it's when you get pushed into a corner, you're gonna do one of two things. You're either gonna fall down, curl up in a ball, and do nothing, or you're gonna start pushing back. And I'm not talking, you know, I'm not saying anything here that you know, you can read between the lines if you want. But we're going to have to start making a stand here pretty soon, because it's not a slow boil anymore. It's, man, they're coming, and they're coming strong, and I don't know, I just see some stuff coming up here real quick. What do you think?
I think so. I agree with you. How could you not agree with the Beatitudes?
I mean, I don't watch the news. You came in, I don't know what day we me and you were talking. Maybe Wednesday night before prayer meeting, or I think I was down at the print shop before that, so that's probably when it was. You said something about the homosexual stuff that's going on, and I hadn't really watched the news or paid attention, or, well, I went home that night and watched the news, and man, it's coming in a hurry.
Yeah, the big thing that happened this last week, the Supreme Court overturned the, I think it was the 1996 law that was put in of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. And, you know, back then everybody jumped for joy that they put that in there, and that basically just said that the federal government couldn't regulate to the states and didn't require the states to recognize same-sex marriages from other states. And Bill Clinton, the president who signed that, was just overjoyed that it, you know, he said lately it needs to be overturned.
Yeah.
And it's all in support of the homosexual, the pervert agenda. Well, Kyle, let me get the buttons pushed here. The phones are ringing, so we'll go to the phone lines early. Good morning. Thanks for calling in on Saturday morning.
Hi. Couple things. One before I forget. When you guys give a scripture,
mm-hmm.
you'll say like Isaiah 5:20 or something and give the quote. I don't know about other people, but for me, I'm listening to the quote, and then I'm thinking, well, where was that? So if you could repeat it again at the end.
you gotta have your game on to be here for Saturday morning, okay? That's all I can tell you there.
Well, I mean any time, but
sure.
The other thing was Benjamin Disraeli, if I'm saying his name right, he was Prime Minister of England back in, I think it was 1800s, and he had a famous quote about everything is about blood, or it's all about blood. And I'm still, I've called about this before, but I just, they're up to something with this push, because now it's about interracial families. They had the first commercial the other day, Cheerios commercial. And they're just pushing it so much now. And I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm wondering if they're wanting to dilute the Caucasian race.
Well, they don't want to dilute it. They want to destroy
it. They want it done.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe I watched more TV in my life than you have. Who is this, by the way?
My name's Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
Debbie, I've seen these commercials for years.
Yeah.
I mean, for years they've been, you know, slowly promoting the destruction of all races. I mean, really, when you think about it, you know, God made every race, mm-hmm. you know, and before he made Adam, he made all these races, and he said that they were good. Now, that didn't mean they were good people, or, you know, that just meant that he was pleased. It was mm-hmm. good.
It was it's his creation.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, but yes, they do hate the Adamite race, which is Caucasian, you know. Now, some of that race is the cursed whatever, you know, where you go to Edom and Canaanites and Amalekites, and you go all over the cursed people. But they hate the white Caucasian people, and they are trying to destroy them. But also, in the process, they are destroying all the races.
They truly are. And Debbie, the way to look at it, too, is that, along with what Kyle said, you look at the black race. The black race in the United States, the Civil Rights Movement was passed, the Civil Rights Laws in 1965, I think. That's the year I was born. But if you go back and read, you look at our history before that, and you look at the black community. The black men were in the home.
Mm-hmm.
The black sons were in the home. The blacks were over in their part of town, they usually called it. I know in Winter Haven, Florida, the black part of town over on one side of town was called Florence Villa. And that was where the blacks lived. You didn't have the crime that you had. And the prisons weren't 65% black in this country.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, because the blacks have strong families.
Now, well, they have that capability. They have that capability. They can have a strong sense of family. But you look at what's happened in the 48 years since 1965, since they passed these civil rights laws. The enemy has destroyed the black race. They have taken them from a, you know, they truly have, because the black man's not in the home anymore. The black son is not in the home. If they're not dead, they're in prison. They're in jail, or they have been there. And like Kyle said, they are just cannon fodder to our enemy. And by doing what they do on TV, in the magazines and the checkout lines and in Hollywood and everywhere, our enemy does this. They mean to wipe us out. If you read in Psalms 83, starting in verse 2, "For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more." And see, they know who true Israel is. And this has been their desire, you know, from old. It's been, and there's nothing new under the sun. You know, I think it was the, and we have another caller. If you'll stay, hold on the line, caller, we'll be right with you. I think it was the Philistines, way back in the Old Testament, that said, you know, we can't wipe these, we can't defeat these people, the Hebrews, the Israelites. And they said, but this is how you beat them. You dress up your women, and you parade them out in front of them, and it'll cause them to sin, and then their God will take care of them, meaning that he'll bring his wrath upon them. And that is what our enemy does. They change what is beautiful and what is desirable to the Hebrew people. And then they dress them up and they promote, they put them out in front of us. And they know that's our, that's one of our downfalls. And so we just have to do the best we can. We have to pray against it. Like Kyle said, the water's boiling. You know, we have to teach our children the best we can. We have to, you know, do what we can to try. There's so many of our people that just don't know. You know, they don't.
Yeah, I was thinking on the drive out here even, you know, you mentioned teach your children. I think that is so key. You know, I was thinking some of the imprints on my mind when I was a child is I watched a show about Lot, you know, and he's you know, the whole show, you know, and I don't think it was too graphic, but I think the whole show is, you know, was Abraham pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah, and then at the end, of course, Lot and his wife and his daughters are going out of town, and the destruction that came. Well, that that imprinted on my mind, and I've known my whole life why that came. Mm-hmm. It came for the sodomy, the homosexual acts, and there was probably all kinds of sin going on.
Oh, sure, there was.
But that's it imprinted on me forever, and I knew it was true. I mean, mm-hmm. faith, you know what I mean? And we have to do that. You know, I mean, I'm not saying go out and get some Judeo-Christian thing that's going to lead your children astray, but we have to implant in our children's minds from a youth up, because that's what they're doing.
Exactly, and that's my point, is that our enemy understands that, and that's what they do. That's why in kindergarten they teach, you know, little Betty that, and they use the book that Betty has two moms and that Tommy has two dads and things like that. And they push and push and push. The mixing of the races is one very important one, but it is one of them. It truly is. And, you know, one thing we can do is rejoice that we have eyes to see it, mm-hmm. because so many of our people don't even see it. And they're being imprinted and trained up and that it's normal. And you know, it may be the norm in society, but it's not. It's still not proper before God.
When you guys were talking, it reminded me of the way they put up Planned Parenthoods in black communities. So they've really been wiping out a lot of the black babies, and that's been part of their plan. Like Margaret Sanger was big on eugenics, and she wrote about wiping out the black races, inferior races, she called them, and... The other thing,
they get them coming going on that, because not only do they do that, just what Debbie said, they wipe them out, but on the other hand, then the ones that don't abort their children, they get them all this government money, which comes out of all the people's money. I mean, and so then they help destroy the land that way also. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead, Debbie.
One thing I was, when you were talking about the homosexuals, you guys might be interested if you haven't read it. It's called The Pink Swastika, and it's about... it's kind of a small book, but it's about all the connections to the homosexuals high up in Hitler's administration, and the Hitler Youth was run by homosexuals, and it reminds me of the Boy Scouts today, you'd have to read the book, but there's just connection after connection of higher ups in the Nazi Party and all over that were homosexuals. And people say, well, Hitler killed homosexuals. He did, but they were the effeminate ones. There was a big, according to the book, a big fight between the effeminate and the butch. And the butch won out, like the SS were. A lot of them were homosexuals.
So. Yeah, sin was rampant then, and unfortunately, again, it's rampant now. Yep. Well, hey, thanks for your call. We'll try to get these other two callers on.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you. And again, the number, 307-745-5913. Good morning. Thanks for calling in the coffee.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Good. I wanted to follow up on all that with the media manipulation on how things have been dished out to us here between the Paula Deen situation, where this woman used the N-word one time or so times in her life, and they're crucifying this woman as if anybody's ever said anything in their life they regretted, you know, or out of context. And then the George Zimmerman case where, you know, they're causing racial tension, you know.
Sure.
between all this. Now, here, and then CNN and all these major media outlets are just pushing this like crazy, shoving it down our throat. Got here in New Jersey, a woman, a home invasion the other day. I don't know if you heard about it or seen it. Black guy broke into a woman's house, or a family's house. The guy was at work, the husband was at work. She was home with a 3-year-old and a baby. And the nanny cam was on over the mantle of the fireplace. This guy beat this woman so bad. I mean, pounded her. She was defenseless. She was helpless. She wasn't putting up a fight. Beat the living heck out of her. But nothing is on the news about this at all. It's only in New Jersey. If you YouTube it, it was in Millburn, New Jersey. But it needs to be known what's going on and this, the evil that we live in. You know, between them wanting to take the guns away and things like this happening in the world. It was one of the most heinous. I mean, it's not a news, you know, feed that you're going to see the video if you look it up. But it's disturbing. I mean, it really, it will make your the hair stand up on your head.
Yeah, you can go. You can go to theblaze.com, and they're carrying that story in the video as well. And it is it you know my people go lower and lower. The alien among you goes higher and higher. And we are living in those days.
It's just a real sobering. You know, when I watched that video, I said, "I saw it on television." You know, locally, it's a local thing, but the major. Like I'll check the Blaze out, but like CNN, not a blip on the screen.
No, nothing. CBS, NBC, the Always Barack channel. You're not going to see it on any of those.
No, that's
ABC, Kyle. The Always Barack channel. You missed that.
But these are some crazy times we're living in, guys. And you know, we're just batten down the hatches, and you know, just hope in the Lord and trust in the Lord and surrender completely because. There's no way to escape this evil without Jesus. Evil will just is going to blossom and flourish, and you know, and that's it.
One thing we do have to remember, even in the midst of all this, is in Psalms 91:5 it says, "You will not be afraid." And we have to remember that as Christians, as those that are washed in the blood, that have moved from the dominion of darkness to the dominion of light, who are no longer in the kingdom of the world, but are in the kingdom of Christ. And that no longer belong to the world, but belong to Christ. Psalms 91:5, you will not be afraid. And we're told time and time again not to fear. We're not to fear man. We're to fear him who is worthy of being feared. And if we do that, we fear him, we honor him, we revere him. You know, it is those that think they're having their heyday today that should fear. It truly is.
Yeah,
well, right. Hey, thanks for that call from New Jersey.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.
God bless.
And we got one more caller here. Caller, thank you for holding, and welcome to Coffee.
Well, thank you, Richard and Kyle, Dan and Tucson here.
Hey, Dan. Tell you what, Dan, let me pour you a cup of coffee, Dan. you were so good to just hold on the line for us, and hope you enjoy that. That's not Starbucks coffee, just so you know. That's top shelf.
It's my first cup of coffee in my life. That's great. Hey, Kyle, I appreciate your words of encouragement here last Sunday when I gave you a call. And
yeah.
I called Kyle here late on Sunday night. Boy, he answered the phone and gave me a few minutes of his time. I appreciate it, Kyle. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
I buried my dad yesterday, my mom 5 years ago, and my dad yesterday, and what a feeling of Judeo-Christian lay pastor. Not 1 year ago, I remember the last time I really had a real good conversation with him about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin and therefore receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I called him and I wish him a happy birthday, and I remember that evening, and really trying to hit home chapter and verse. After all, that's what he taught me, chapter and verse. And in frustration, I remember the last thing I remember him saying to me, he goes, "Well, aren't you special? You and your little group, aren't you special?" And I was a little taken back by that. I expect a little man-to-man chapter and verse, but I guess in exasperation, he really didn't have much to say when we all know it's there in many, many places.
You know, Dan, this past week, Kyle and I talked about it, I think, Wednesday night. You know, that's about the fifth mention just this week of people, you know, denying baptism. The other ones have been these, you know, there's a pastor in Wyoming and two emails that I've gotten in one letter that just seem like how that is coming to the forefront. It's like with that water boiling that Kyle talked about earlier, that's boiling us, the frog in the pan, that it's like this is what's rising to the top. And I think that it's just, you know, it's a spiritual attack. It's a last-ditch effort by the spiritual forces. You know, we're seeing that from sea to shining sea, unfortunately.
Well, what can you say? The truth is the truth. I'm so thankful here a few years back that I tuned into Scriptures for America, and a few years earlier than that I prayed in my car one evening, 1998. I said, God, show me the truth. I've been in church all my life, been to Sunday school. I leave church, leave Sunday school. I tell my wife literally many times, I feel empty. I feel dry. I feel like I just ate a big, big gob of cotton candy and like I'm supposed to be full, but I'm not full. And it's not right, and I knew it wasn't right, and God got me personally a couple of years later on the backside, and for 14 years he's had me on the backside of the desert. I haven't been in the church, which of course I supported for 20 years and raised my family in, and I of course still have many contacts there, and my son-in-law is the youth pastor there, and my father-in-law is the pastor there, and I go on and on to try to gently but firmly scripture and verse show them the way. But let me share just one little thing with you. I one evening having a discussion with my son-in-law, which I love dearly. He's a great guy, youth pastor, hardworking. I'll admit I still support him. I support him so he can still have that position in that church of youth pastor. But I remember in kind of one exasperation one evening, he just was getting upset, so I backed down, and we agreed to disagree, and he left, of course, on good terms, which I always try to do. And getting ready for bed, I asked God, I go, why don't they see? Why don't they see? And you know, within 30 seconds, God told me, he said, they're fully vested. I want fully vested. They're fully vested. Can you imagine? I know Pastor Peter just said this. Can you imagine if they accepted the baptism truth, or let alone all the other truths? Their life has been, to a large degree, awash. I mean, they haven't.
That's where it all meets right there. It's
it is.
The Spirit told me, can you imagine? I mean, it's like the camel going through the eye of the needle. Can you imagine what they'd have to accept in their lives and their whole lives of being at waste? And I think that's what, you know, my dad was experiencing.
It is. You know, Dan, and I can't help but think of Saul. Because Saul killed Christians. I think I'm biblical in stating that. Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, killed Christians, stood there gleefully as they stoned Stephen, is just one of the examples. But when he writes in Ephesians and Galatians and later on, he was a murderer. He was fully vested. He was he had letters in his pocket from the number two man in the nation to go kill some more, basically.
And he got knocked down.
That's right, and he was going to do that. And, you know, he had his Damascus Road experience. Boy, they like to talk about that a lot, but they never talk to you when he goes and gets baptized afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, we have that example that they can change. You know, they can come out of that. You know, I think you could say he was in a Judeo church before his experience, and you know, and so they can. But You know,
well,
it's there.
Calvinistic. We were talking about that the other day, weren't we, Richard?
Yeah.
This is going to sound Calvinistic, but it's only going to happen if God calls
him. Right.
That's the only way. Now, he can use every one of us, or any one of us, I should say, but it's only going to happen. I mean, that question you were asking, we've all had those situations, Dan. We've all asked the same question. Why don't they see?
Right.
It's because God doesn't open their eyes. And pride, like Richard kind of whispered a while ago when you were talking, Dan, it's pride, and that's what it is. It's this ancestral disease that makes them have so much pride that mom and dad couldn't have been wrong, or brother, or sister, or whoever it is. They couldn't have been wrong, you know, and so their pride keeps them blinded even more. So.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. But one other thing I just wanted to interject, I appreciate your guys' comments. It seems to me, it's being pressed really kind of me in the last month or so, that it seems to me that we're coming to a time in the near future that all this DNA, human genome information is being booked and recorded, and there'll come a day, maybe not in the too distant future, there'll be a killing field experience of them trying to finally wipe out the people of God.
They're going to try.
You understand what I'm saying? Through the DNA, they'll be able to actually trace the DNA.
I think so. I think that's what's behind all of it, you know, is that very thing. They're wanting to, you know, when they tell you that they're researching it, and then they put in National Geographic, it's a, you know, they show a baby and says that he will live to be 100. Because of their DNA research, it's just the opposite. They don't want him to live at all. You know, if they want to wipe him out by the time he's 10, it's just the opposite of what they say. You know, the war on cancer is so we don't find a cure. The war on poverty is so that we have more poverty. The war on drugs, so that we have more drugs.
What they don't understand is God is sovereign, and he
you know, laughs.
When it all comes down to it, you know, he can keep whatever purified or whoever purified he wants to keep purified. And
he will.
And he will. He will. Absolutely.
And he will. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that Proverbs 23:23, buy truth. You know, you hear so much from the Judeos that, it's the free gift of God that he gives, the free gift of salvation. Oh, it's a free gift. All you have to do is accept it. No, you got to do more than that. You got to buy it. You have to pay. You have to pay the price. You have to buy truth, and what is truth but the Word, and what is the Word but Jesus Christ? And so you have to buy it. You have to pay for it. And we learned from the pastor that there are many that just, they don't buy it. They won't buy it. And they are the foolish virgins that don't have.
And here's why most of them don't buy it. The price is too high.
They're fully vested.
Yep, they're fully vested.
So, you know, I think that brings it right back. It does.
Yep.
Well, Dan, keep the faith. Hang in there.
Thank you.
You know, when these trials come, you know, we truly have to look at them. That, you know, we God is there with us. Christ is walking with us and carrying us right through that valley.
Yeah. Hey Kyle, do you remember the message I left you here a month or two ago about the farm?
About the farm?
Yeah, about the farm?
No, I remember the one about the pig in the gas.
Oh no! I left you a message a couple of months ago.
I remember, and I've told almost
remember
everybody.
That.
Yeah, I will
remember that. God has me for the last 14 years on a mission which he has just miraculously supplied, and so I won't say any more. Remember that, and
I will.
The day would ever come you want to talk to me, let me know.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Dan. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Well, the phones are sure ringing off the hook this morning,
cool.
Aren't they?
That's cool. Makes our job easier.
They do, and the phones are still ringing. Hey, thanks for holding, and welcome to coffee. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning, this is George from Illinois.
George, you're up already? You should be in bed.
Well, I got up, it was about 8:02, and I got up, and I said I better hurry up and get my cup of coffee in. So I turned on, listened to the show, I was talking with a guy last week, a floor layer, kind of the job I was on. I guess he seen me, he's like, are you a religious person? Because I guess the way that I go around and talk to people, people think I'm a radical and a racist and all
kinds of
different
things. You're in the right group then.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
So, and, so you'll stand with Paula Deen, is that what you're saying? Nobody else will.
I guess that's what you would put me under. But, and he's like, are you a religious person? And I says, well, I believe I am. I try to be, you know. And he's like, well, where do you go to church? And I was like, well, I go at home. And I proceeded to tell him about the DVD church from Scriptures for America and all that. And, different things that we stand by, the Anglo-Israel message and all that. And, you know, he was kind of right along with it, understanding some of that stuff. And then it got down to where he's just all of a sudden, well, I believe that Christ died on the cross, and that's really all you need to know. I mean, all that other stuff is just stuff you don't even need to know about, you know. And I was like, well, you know, that is what we need to know. We do need to know that Christ did die on the cross, and we need to let people know about that, because a lot of them don't believe. But there's a lot of other things you need to know. You need to be able to teach your children and about the Bible and things in the Bible. And he's like, his boss came, and so we separated, and then an hour later we kind of went back and started talking again. And he's like, well, I was saved back 4 years ago. And I was like, well, what do you mean by saved? And it took him a second. And he's like, he said he just had an experience, you know. And I'm like, well, were you baptized? And he says, I think that's really more of an outward sign. And I was like, yeah, I know what you mean by that. But it's not. It's one of the first steps that you need to do, you need to take, and be fully submersed in water and repent for your sins. That's one of the most important things that you can stand by. He's like, well, I don't really believe that. And, you know, a lot of the churches out here nowadays, they'll talk about baptism, but they won't push it to the extent that it needs to be.
Yeah, they'll have a baptism service twice a year, maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
And you know, all the youths that are 12 years old, if you're in anything Baptist, they'll sure do that, you know. And because Jesus was 12 when he went to the, you know, and taught in the synagogue or whatever, so they do that at 12. And you're right, George. And you know, it Dan that called earlier said, you know, when he said, Lord, show me truth, guess what the Lord did?
Yeah.
Showed him truth. You know, George, I we agree with you. We know that there's so many out there. You know, I believe that's real close to I am. And what we are today is we are just idolaters. We have become God in that sense, you know. And I don't mean us, but as a people, you know, we decide. Well, I decide, is what your friend's saying, what I need to do to go to heaven, or what I need to do to be saved. And you know, I've had a similar experience. You know, a so-called Christian man talking, and you know, and he said, you know, my life hasn't been the same. You know, since I just accepted Jesus as my personal Savior and invited him into my heart, he said, it's been so great since. And I asked him, well, do you know, where's the scripture verse where I could go read that? And it got real quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and I let it go for a little bit, and then it's
and
like.
They really don't want to talk too much.
No,
more
they
after
don't.
That
they don't.
Because you're pushing something, and they really don't want to.
Right.
They want to let you know their experience and that they're supposedly right along with you and
cause
in the walk.
Right, because their Judeo-Christian pastor has asked them to share that. Yes, tell us, were you, as pastor used to say, were you driving that, I was out driving that John Deere and just decided one day, Lord, I need you. And that was it. And boy, you know, but then I asked him, you know, but the Bible does talk about how baptism saves us. And how we have to repent and be baptized, and along those lines, and yeah, you know, that conversation ended, and that's been about the last one. you know, with that gentleman, and so it happens, and that is how that is one of the ways our enemy, you know, has succeeded for so long. They tickle the ears of the people, because the people, you know, we're a lazy people. That's as a people. You know, the Cretans, they're liars. And
they're lazy too.
And they're lazy too. But as a people, we are, because and we get exploited in that arena, because, you know, if it comes back to that Horace Greeley quote, you cannot enslave physically or mentally a Bible reading people. So our enemy says, they believe that. So our enemy says we do anything and everything we can to keep them from reading the Bible. Tell them it's too complicated. Tell and fill their lives with capital E everything else.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're like Dan that called in earlier, and if you ask for truth, you'll get it. You might not like it. That's Kyle's point. You might not like it, but you'll get it. And whether you believe it or not, whether you apply it or not, well, that's up to you. That's between you and God. You know, and you know, when these people do, when they reject baptism, when they reject, you know, the simple truths of the Bible, it's not us that they're rejecting. It's Him. It really is. It's Him.
Yeah. Well, I just think it, you know, I remember a year or so back where you, on one of the DVDs, you kind of gave a challenge to people out there, and suggested that they that week they go around and go up and talk to somebody that they don't know, and tell them about, you know, the Bible, and, you know, just kind of talk with them and see where they're at, and try to preach the gospel like Christ said. And I really think that the men out there, that I think they really need to try to continue to do that. Whenever you did that, it really kind of went home to me, because I did a little bit, but I kind of stuck with people that I hung out with a lot that I already knew the way I believe. So
I think another thing that applies to that is like you started off your conversation. You said that, you know, this person asked you if you were religious, if you know, if you're a Christian, because of your mannerisms, because of your lifestyle, the way that you are. And so many times that can be the witness for us. That can be the witness for us.
Yeah.
That opens the doors, or that, you know, our actions truly speak louder than words. You know, we can say this and say that and have the "I love Jesus" bumper sticker on the truck, you know, but our actions and our words speak for us. They truly do.
It's kind of funny, because when people ask me about religion, I tend to talk a long time, and probably more than they want to hear about it. But
kind of
anyway,
the "glad you asked" type of response. Huh?
Yeah, glad you asked.
Glad you asked to pull up a chair. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, one more thing. I just wanted to let you guys know, me and Patricia, we had a great time. The family had a great time over there in Branson. The messages were awesome. Enjoyed the singing and the dancing. Seeing my dad up there doing the Virginia, the reel or whatever. It was kind of, I don't think I've ever seen my dad dance before, and that was kind of interesting, watching everybody do everything. I was able to get to know you guys a little bit more than I was able to before. And
it's our pleasure, George.
Everybody know that this was,
I'm glad you brought
time.
That up too, because, you know, it gives the people out there that don't ever come, you know, just a witness of what kind of takes place there. It's not just all, you know, serious. I mean, there's some serious stuff there.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But
it's about, you know, having a good time, too.
It is.
Yeah. The families need that fellowship with other families.
Yes.
That believe that way. And if there's any way that they can get to Branson and do that, they really need to. You guys try to make it as easy on the people as they can. And like you said, everybody, you know, it's done every year. So
just start saving money if possible, you know. So.
Yeah, try to plan now. Good Lord willing.
Try to plan now.
Well, George,
so anyway,
thanks for the call, brother.
Good day. Thank you. Bye.
All right. And guess what, Kyle?
Phone lines are lit up. See, I'm sitting where I can't see
yeah.
the phone lines.
Yeah, Kyle's, we're in the office here, and he's around the corner from the rack. And I've got my back to the clock. I guess we've still got a little bit of time. Oh, yeah. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard, Kyle. This is Tom in Montana. How are you fellas today?
Good. Tom, I'll pour you a cup here.
Good. Good to hear you. Oh, boy.
That's cowboy coffee for you, Tom.
That's good. That's
you know,
good.
We thought we were going to pour you a true cup tomorrow, but...
I know. We were going to slip out, but we just wound up not being able to, and we're going to miss out on that. But we sure do enjoy having you on the radio and hearing your voices this morning. And everybody that's calling in seems to be down about the fact that they can't find anybody else to bring it up to. And we are, well, up here it's the same way. Everybody is just walking zombies, like you said on your show the other day, Kyle. And they're just happy to be that walking zombie.
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
They're walking dead. They're the walking dead, and they're just happy as pigs in a waller to be that way. And once they, if they're called, I believe that they got to want to, and they got to pray. It was 4 or 5 years ago, and that you finally say, "What is the truth, Lord? Show us." And man, all you got to do is say that, and bingo, here it'll come.
Yeah.
And then you've got to obey it. And there is so many people that will not obey. It is just against their nature to even consider bending to obey something. And God don't want them.
If they're not going to, you know, Christ said, if they won't have me rule over them, bring them here and slay them at my feet. You're right. You're right. And what's happened is, you know, we're third, fourth generation maybe of you forget my law, forget your children. And as a people, I think that's where most of our people are. And we have to build back and come back from that and let the people know, listen, it's not do what you want to do. But there is a rule, there is a law, there is an authority that as his people, we're supposed to follow. And the people don't know it. They don't want to know it. They're happy walking around as those zombies, those dry bones, I think it was mentioned earlier.
That's right. And you're a father, and there nothing delights a father more than having his child obey him.
It's truly a
delight, and that's what.
And then the opposite also.
I was thinking that same thing, and nothing grieves a father more to see when their children don't.
Yeah.
They are both extremes. From one end,
yeah,
of the joy, to the other end. Of the despair,
well,
that's true.
I'm going to get off the phone and let somebody else in, but with this Supreme Court deal and letting the queers run amok around this country, look out, here it comes. That's what brought Sodom and Gomorrah on.
Yep.
And just stay in your sheltered wing of Jesus Christ, because it's the game is on now.
I agree, yep.
Amen.
Well, you guys have a good day.
Thanks, Tom.
You
know, it's kind of a catch-22 a little bit, you know. It's, you know, the and we've heard this from people. I'm a witness to this. When you say you want truth, you know, God will show you truth. But the catch-22 part is you're only going to say you want truth until God gets you to the point where you're saying you want truth. It's kind of like no one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ, and no one comes to Jesus Christ unless the Father drags him. You know, I mean, So, and I say that because it helps me to understand that, to not get discouraged, to not get too down when I say, why don't they see?
Yep.
You know, because that takes me back to God, the Father, in prayer.
Right.
You know, because I know no one's going to come to the Son unless the Father drags him.
Right.
You know, so.
But we can ask the Father to drag him.
Yeah, and that takes the pressure, so to speak, off me, trying to cram it down my loved one's throats or whoever, you know.
Yeah.
And because, yeah, I try that, you know, but you can beat yourself to death doing that. You know, and you got to get back to the point where God is sovereign. He's in control. He does the calling. He does the dragging. You know, and yeah, you know, you're supposed to live like you do it. You know, and we're supposed to do it, mm-hmm. but we're supposed to have faith like God does it,
yeah.
and God does do it. So you know, I say catch 22, but you know, I mean, because it all does harmonize together. You know, but it can be discouraging. But don't get discouraged. You know, even like Dan and, you know, lost his father in that conversation he told about a year ago. You know, forgive him, Dan. I mean, we all know the situation. You know, don't put him in heaven or don't put him in hell. That's up to God. Forgive him.
Yeah.
You know, and move on. And, right. and know that God does the calling.
Right. And by our, you know, there's instructions in wives here in the New Testament that, you know, even if they, you know, it's by their chaste behavior that they can win over a sinning husband, a lost husband. And aren't we the bride?
Absolutely.
Not that we have a sinning husband to win over, but that applies. Many of our men don't realize how close that applies to us. That just in our chaste behavior, in our use of language or use of not using certain language, and in our, like George had said from Illinois, in our behavior, in our actions, you know, we portray a type of Christ to the world if we're Christians. It may be a good type, it may be a bad type, but we do.
Right.
And you know, that's why we have to be in the Word. And when we've been given truth, we have to continue to read in it and continue to grow and apply it. And just so it can be a good example. Back to the phone lines. Oh, sorry about that caller. If you want to get on the air,
so
you got
to. We finally got a caller that didn't have patience.
A couple more minutes, and we've got a few
like
more minutes here.
About what George brought up,
sure,
and then you commented on it too. But about the person that says that they had this experience, you know, nobody that I know of has ever had an experience like Saul had.
Right.
Saul seen the light. You know, he's seen the light way more than some guy on a John Deere tractor and way more than a group of people, the Judeo-Christian. Saul is the prime example of somebody who had an experience.
Mm-hmm.
He was blinded. I mean, he saw the light. He heard the voice. He went and did what he was told to do to get his sight. I mean, to finish the experience off, you know, God told him, here's what you got to do, Saul. You know,
yeah.
You got to go do this. You got to go see this man named Ananias, and guess what? He's going to tell you what to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so Saul goes.
Mm-hmm.
Saul goes and sees Ananias. Ananias says, "Well, here's what you got to do. Are you there, Richard?"
Oh no,
oh, okay.
I'm
well, anyway,
turning.
But
yeah, here
I
we
didn't,
go.
I didn't go there either. I yeah. should have. But so, basically, the whole story is he laid hands on him and baptized him, and he received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hey, and all of a sudden he's Paul. You know, then he was saved. If he would have never went to Ananias, if he would have just had that experience on the road to Damascus, the experience that probably the guy that George talked to had, you know, if he would have just had that experience and not obeyed, then it would have all been for naught.
Yeah, absolutely. And a second witness to that is Naaman the leper in the Old Testament. You know, he goes, he had leprosy. He sure wanted to be cleansed. He wanted to be healed. Well, how do you do that? Well, it's real simple. Just go wash in that dirty old Jordan River 7 times. And, oh, he was offended.
Yeah.
And I remember the pastor giving that. He gave that talk at the 2002 Rocky Mountain Family Bible Camp. And I remember it because it's near and dear to me because it was one where my family members, it pierced them to the heart. And drove them to action, to repentance, and action, and baptism. And it is that simple obedience And I think that that, you know, you'll hear these Judeo-Christian churches, you know, oh, they, I mean, they call them Damascus Road churches.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, for that experience. And they concentrate on the experience instead of the obedience. And that's what Naaman the leper was doing. You know, oh, I thought that man of God would come out and wave his hands and call on his gods and do all this stuff. Well, you know, God sometimes might do that, but he didn't have to do it then. And that's not how he told his prophet to do it, the man of God. And Naaman would have died a leper if he hadn't obeyed, if he hadn't done that, dipping in the water seven times.
If there's any new listeners out there, if you want to order a great CD, order Seven Ducks in a Muddy River. And, I mean, if you want to help or try to help convert somebody, I suggest get it and give it to whoever you think needs it.
Yep. And you can order that right off our website, scriptures4america.org. And if you click there, then on the left-hand side it says Resource Catalog. If you click there, it'll bring up the Resource Catalog, and you can search. And like Kyle said, Seven Ducks in a Muddy River. You can also write to us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And we make it easy on you. You can even send us an email. Our email address is preacher@sfaw.org. So you can write. You can email our office number, not the call-in number here, but I'll give you our office number. Don't call it today because we're not planning on being in the office. It's Saturday. But during the week, 307-742-7582, if you want that.
And when you give it to somebody and then they come back and say they don't see it, and you're asking yourself that question, how could they not see that?
Yeah.
Go to the Father.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we invite you to church tomorrow. You heard Tom in Montana, he had sent me a text earlier. They were going to try to drive down, but he had some work come up that he just couldn't get off for the weekend. So, but we do have church tomorrow at the La Porte Church of Christ. We invite you to join us. If you don't have to drive to La Porte, you can just go again to that website, scriptures4america.org. And at 10 a.m. Mountain tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, just click on the live video stream. Don't do it now because we're not there streaming live. You have to wait till church time. But do that, and then you can join us for church. And for a scriptural review of the news, you'll see John. John will give you a good welcome and have a few words to say. We'll have some good music, a communion message, and a Holy Spirit-inspired message, probably by Pastor Peters. And, you know, last week we had Colonel Jack Moore, an older message. Is it time for national repentance? And, even the truth there, it could have been, written specifically for his people last week. It truly was. So we do that. We invite you to church. Well, thanks for tuning in. Again, we are Scriptures for America. This has been Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.